Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, February 3rd, 2020. This morning I will talk about the Beatitudes. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Spirit of Holiness, we praise you for blessing us with life, a vision of how to live it, and a family to share it with. We praise you for your faithful presence on good days and not so good days. Forgive our pride and willfulness. Forgive us for sins against you and sins against those around us. Plant in us the seeds of forgiveness and the patience to watch them grow. Plant in us the desire to follow you and to prosper your kingdom. Let us use our blessings to bless others, blessing not only those easy to love, but also those who need our love. Grant us strength for the day, grace for those that we meet, and peace in all things. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Psalm 2, verses 11 and 12, we read, Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. The Beatitudes poetically introduce Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which sets priorities, redefines honor among disciples, and commissions his disciples. The sermon offers the lengthiest statement of Jesus' teaching, and the early church cited it more frequently than any other passage in Scripture. As an introduction, the Beatitudes interpret the Old Testament in ways that surprised his disciples then, and continue to surprise us now, suggesting that the Beatitudes deserve careful study. In both Matthew and Luke, the Beatitudes appear immediately after Jesus calls his disciples and addresses the disciples, serving as a preamble for the sermon that follows. The sermon addresses the disciples personally, much like Jesus' earlier call to ministry, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is Matthew 4:19. This is not a passive call to be spectators, but an active call for disciples who will share in his suffering at a time when the arrest and beheading of John, who baptized Jesus, was still fresh on their minds. Suffering, extreme tension, is an obvious theme in the sermon both because of John's recent death and because of ongoing threats to Jesus' life that began even before his birth. Suffering, we learn in the Beatitudes, is part of being a faithful disciple, and we know that the disciples got this message because 10 out of 11 faithful disciples died a martyr's death. The Beatitudes take their name from the Latin translation, beati, of the Greek word for honor, makrioi, which means humans privileged recipients of divine favor, or favored, blessed, fortunate, happy, privileged. Jesus repeats makrioi 9 times. The Bible uses repetition for emphasis. Twice is emphasis, 3 times is highly emphatic, and 9 times is unprecedented. This emphatic repetition reinforces the sermon's content. The sermon in Matthew pictures Jesus as the new Moses issuing a new law of grace on a mountain, much like Mount Sinai. While in Luke, the sermon presents both blessings and curses, woes, a pattern associated with covenantal law, for example, in Deuteronomy 28. In other words, the literary style and content of the text are attention grabbers for a Jewish audience. Jesus' repeated use of makrioi in the sermon alludes to Psalm 1 in the Greek translation, the one most familiar to first century readers, where it says, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law meditates day and night. This is Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 1 pictures God's shalom, a call to holiness, and integration, the opposite of tension, within ourselves, with God through obedience to his law, and with others with an amazing economy of words. Other references to makrioi speak not of integration but of tension, such as political tension, as we see in Psalm 2, and affliction, as we see in Isaiah 30. In Isaiah 30, for example, God makes an interesting promise to those who wait for him. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself any more, but your eyes shall see your teacher. This is Isaiah 30, verse 20. The teacher here is the Messiah who blesses those who suffer the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, a poetic phrase meaning persecution, while the word for teacher also means early rain, a form of blessing in a desert region like Israel. In his sermon, Jesus redefines the meaning of honor, an important but neglected translation, the makrioi. If Jesus wanted to convey the idea of blessing, the usual translation of makrioi, then the more conventional word in Greek would be eulogitos. Honored is a more appropriate translation because the ancient world had an honor-shame culture where even a small insult requires an immediate and sometimes deadly response. Jesus forbids such responses. When Jesus taught forgiveness, enemy love, and turning the other cheek, he radically confronted the honor-shame culture, where masters had honor and slaves had mostly shame. Dishonor in the ancient world, Jesus redefined as honor among his disciples. Jesus said, "Honor to you when others revile and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is Matthew 5:11-12. In other words, heavenly rewards follow earthly persecution. In a culture obsessed with glory and honor, especially family honor, the preferred translation for makrioi here is honor, not blessing. It is also more consistent with the rest of Jesus' sermon and less consistent with the law of Moses, where blessings and curses are found, as in Psalm 1. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.